have a relationship with Christ, who have walked with Christ, have somewhat of an understanding, but there's so much more in the Word. And this here gives some instructions, some detailed instructions on how to conduct ourselves as kingdom citizens. Because when we align ourselves with Christ, we no longer align ourselves with the world. So we have to get new instructions on how to conduct ourselves. I can remember the last time you were on a panel with us, you shared with us as a young Christian yourself, you found it hard even to find material clothing to wear that wasn't worldly. And those are some of the struggles that we have because we're trying to operate outside of the worldly point of view and conduct ourselves in Christ's life. However, the world doesn't give us a lot of options. But if you don't know better, you will do what everybody else is doing. And that's why this instruction is so important. So I just want to ask a question. As far as your walk, and let's start with you, Alana. As far as your walk as a young Christian, because we talk about all things becoming new. When you decided to give your life to Christ, what was your expectation?
I think my expectation, I grew up in the church, so I've been in church since I was a baby. But I think my expectation was that everything would change almost immediately. That I really wouldn't have to put in the work or do anything. Like I said, I grew up in church, so I was kind of coasting off of my parents, my siblings, whatever. I don't think I developed my actual own personal relationship until I was about 17, 18. And then it became more personal. Because during that time, I was struggling with suicide and trying to kill myself. A lady actually stopped me because she could see it. And that's when I actually got involved in church and that relationship became personal for me.
Wow. That's powerful. And I'm glad you're able to share that part of your testimony because that's something that so many out there struggle with because they have that expectation that once I get my life everything is going to be all right. That everything is going to just line up, and there's no work that I have to do, And that's far from the truth. And you just sharing that part of your testimony about those struggles and where you are at. And I thank God that God takes someone in your life and your path to help you to sustain you from going in that direction that the world was pulling you to. Because it wasn't God, it was the world and the weight of the world on your shoulders that was pushing you in that direction. And this is something that so many of our young brothers and sisters are going through. That's the struggle. And that's why we're talking about all things become new, because there's a process that we have to go through in order for them to become new. We got to go through that pressure cooker. Jeanette, can you share as far as your was when you decide to give your life to Christ, what was your expectation and what did you go through?
Right. I grew up in the church, so I didn't really have any expectation of Christ. I thought nothing was gonna change, that my life was gonna continue being the way it was. I was gonna continue dealing with depression the way I did, with suicide the way I did. Anxiety, rejection, all of that. I didn't expect anything to change at all because I thought I knew it all. I've been in the church where I saw miracles happen. Legs go out, arms go out, back be straightened, cancer be healed, but nothing had happened to me up until that point. So I thought my life would be completely the same. It was going to be just as hard, and it was going to get harder because I gave my life to Christ. The devil was looking after me. But after really building a relationship with Jesus and finding a friend in him, I can say that it's completely different from what I lived, the way I lived before. Because I could be surrounded by people, but still totally isolated. I could be with my family, and they could be telling me how much they love me. They could be doing everything for me just so I could see it. but I'm still feel so rejected. The way God has changed my life, the way He's changed me, my perspective, I have a whole new outlook on it. And it's like the insecurities I had before, they can't bother me.
So one of the questions that I would like to ask you, because that was powerful, you know, and Angela Jones, I would like for you to share too, before I even ask you that question, because I want to hold on to that. Evangelist, for you, and you're one who's an evangelist here at Harvest, and a part of your ministry is helping young women who are struggling to find themselves in their relationship with God, is helping them with that. As far as your journey, your experience, because Jesus said, greater works for you through the words of your testimony. And it's through your testimony that you're able to share. Not that you're still not going through things yourself, because we're all still going through a process. How have you been able to have an impact on some of these young women's lives and other people that you share with, and you have an opportunity to share with based on the things you do?
I'm like these three young ladies. I didn't come up with each other. I knew of God, but I did not have a relationship because there was no one in my home building and showing a relationship with Christ. Okay, I heard His name, but I did not have with these two young ladies' experience. I've been through a lot of things in my life, and as a young woman, I sought the Lord for myself. Live right, I fought off. Doing things my own way, fell into many traps. One day, I wanted to get to know Jesus for myself. And I always share this story about Elaine Paul, rest of all. She was a committee person. She was my next door, actually neighbor, the first house. I sat with her a lot. And she exhibited something that I wanted that I didn't see at home. She never had children. She had hundreds of children. And one day, Elaine Crawley in a community center showed a movie called The Burning Man. And I was that child who was busy and everything. And I saw that movie. And it changed me. That movie, when I saw on that screen that man riding that motorcycle crash, a part of that man was there. And it was a burning car. And he was down. He was screaming for help, but he couldn't come out. Scared me straight. The next day I was in church. My mother was still laying in the bed. I said, I'm going to church with Missy Lane. I went to church. I told Missy Lane, I want to go back and get baptized. Didn't fully understand what I was doing. God already knew my plan. Went back. Got baptized. Nobody was there but Elaine Crawley and Reverend Johnson and baptized. And the rest of the church. Did get all right, fell back, because I really didn't understand what I was doing. But I did know I didn't want to go to heaven. Been through well, and like you said, I was expecting some light to come on and life to change. Didn't happen that way. I still messed up. At one point in my life, I saw a light. As a grown woman, I gave my life. And I realized, in the midst of me hanging in the streets, partying, doing whatever I thought was big and bad enough to do, I realized He was on that cross and I was there. I realized when I was in the club and the fight broke out, when they started poking each other, I was standing right there. I could have got both. I realized when I ran out the club with everybody else and the guy who was after ran right beside me, they could have took me with them, but they didn't. I realized a whole lot in a little bit of time. Still didn't get it right, but I did realize there's a purpose. And one day, as a young girl, I heard a voice say, you're different when I was walking down the street. And many people would think this was crazy. There was nobody outside. And I'm looking for this voice. I heard the voice. And I can't tell you by face, but now I understand who it was. Didn't tell me that was better than anybody else, but he said, you're different. And I've been running for that different. And through my life experience, I want to share what the Lord has done for me to impart to these young women. And that's what I'm trying to do. Not by my will, but by the will of God that I'm giving back because he spared my life for this reason. He's a purposeful God, you know, and he's going to point when we're off the beat. You know, and we've been sharing real life. We just shared a devotion that was shared to us through one of the women of war. It was talking about this extraordinary God, how he chose us, the ordinary people, how we are so ordinary, and you know, we connect dots. Some of our stories are so similar. They came up in church. I didn't. That was similarity. They knew God as young women. I didn't. God took ordinary people. He's the extraordinary God that he is, and he's pouring into our lives through people like myself, yourself, and all the pastors and leaders to bring out the best in them, him in them.
We got a question, and then we're going to read that first scripture.
Yes.
Okay, I can read it
now. Okay, go ahead and read that scripture.
I have some questions about that scripture.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 5:17, and this is a testimony that you guys just already just said. So it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away. Behold, so my question is, Sister Lon, when you had that bout of darkness, like what change did happen that caused you to back away from that and pursue Christ? What was the turning point? Because everybody, you know, everybody gets that dark place. I was suicidal. So I know how the thought pattern goes when you feel like nobody loves you, nobody wants you. You're not good enough. You don't fit in. And the enemy will tell you, you don't need to be here. And it feels real. And then there's a turning point. And the Holy Spirit steps in. What was your turning point?
I would say my turning point was when my best friend committed suicide and I realized how much I missed her, how much her family, her friends missed her. That was definitely my turning point. And I was like, I can't put my friends and my family through that. So that was definitely my turning point, and from that point on, that's when I got more involved. I started doing therapy, yes. Things like that.
Wait. You started doing what?
Therapy.
How long did it last?
I'm still in therapy, so I've been doing therapy for a good a while now, a few years.
So is therapy helping mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? Because one of the things that happens, and we tend to work on one thing. Not going to the dark place. But the enemy is waiting for us to stop so he can pursue us in other areas. You know, and what he does is see, he don't have access to you. He tempts you through your infirmities. And your infirmities are the weaknesses that we have in us that the enemy will try to tempt us to draw us back to the dark place. So the therapy helps you spiritually, mentally, and physically. That's what's important. What was yours today? What was your turning point in the dark place?
I know you guys remember when I first started here and I came and I started crying because I gave up everything because God had told me to. Like I said, I grew up in the church and we had been trained on how to hear him. I could hear, a lot of people have the gift of hearing but don't really like. God. I didn't have a relationship with God. I just had to hear him. And I heard him tell my parents to move to Middletown, and I told them God's time to pick up and go, so we did. I heard him tell me it was time to change my job, even though I loved the job I was in, so I did. And I heard him tell me it was time to leave behind my best friend of 10 years, so I did. But all of that at the same time broke me down. I lost everything. I lost home, and then I had been in a car accident. I had to get over. I literally had been diagnosed with PTSD. I had to get over my fear. driving, going to Middletown, Newcastle every day. I had so much going on. The devil would speak to me in ways.
The question was that turning point, the time that you said, okay, that's it. I'm going to chase God. I'm going to pursue God. Because,
yeah.
You know, we all, what you just explained now, we all have that in a different way, but we still all have that dark place. And what the enemy likes to do is take your memories, I call it emotional wound picture, give you a picture of past damaged emotions to keep you playing that in your mind so you don't go forward. Somewhere along the way, you stop that, and then you start pursuing, which is the light, which is righteous, which is good.
I think I had just got fed up with all of it. I had been like that for a while, listening to it all. I had even started to hear, like, in my sleep, the lies, and I would be like, you know, when you have dreams of things that happen in real life, I would hear the lies. So after months and months of this going on and having nobody to talk to, the devil came to me and was like, nobody loves you. You should do it now. You should commit suicide now. And I had all my pills next to me. I was getting ready to do it. And I heard this voice say, what friend do you have in Jesus? And I said, okay, God, my friend, let me try this out. If you and my friend start showing up, and I pulled out my Bible, I pulled out Google, and I was like, well, the scriptures that show we have a friend in God, the scriptures about friendship with God, and that's when I started reciting those things to myself. Like,
that's powerful.
We are loved unconditional, things like that.
That's powerful.
Amen.
You know, that is so on point, because today I shared with the my leadership group of young men and women, I gave them a paper that I had for a while now, and it was the emergency Bible number. Emergency Bible number. And I was telling them for a while now that any issue that we're dealing with, God has given us words to deal with that. If we pay attention, Jesus showed that to us in the garden. He showed that to us. And it comes from us having a relationship with him. And I want to read that same scripture that Pastor Bruce just read, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified. And it says here, it says, therefore, anyone is in Christ that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual conditions have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. And ladies, with you, everyone who just shared here today, you spoke about that new life because you opened yourself up to receive what God has for you. Those old things have died. And an enemy, and I know you said you're still going through therapy. You probably can still hear some of those things, because the enemy don't have no new tricks. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will continue to go after you because he don't want us to be purposeful in God's will. So I applaud you, ladies, for standing firm in who God is calling you to be. And I tell you, your battle is not won yet. You got to continue to keep on that armor of God daily. Paul said, I die to myself daily, because he's not going to stop. Just like Evangelist Jones, she's still, we all still battle. It don't matter how old you are, what anointing or what call God, you still are doing a battle. This is going to be a battle until we leave this earth. You know, so I applaud you, ladies, for what you have done, what you will continue to do. And I tell you this, that so long as you continue to plow forward, God has planned and purpose beyond what you can even think or imagine. We have a question or a comment.
I would just like to share a few things. Initial experience. in like management, I didn't have any from the church. But my great grandmother spoke and taught me about God like 100%. Praying at night, everything. Well, my first experience was my mother had a cricket. And I felt the need of giving to God for my mother. Well, he was working through me and everything, and I was building my relationship. Everything was growing. I was growing tremendously, building my relationship. Then I get married, and my husband goes to jail. I felt like I was losing my mind. I wanted to kill myself. And, and I lost my job from being sick so much. I was put on the tube for 3 years. From the stress. And but during those times, God was always there. Was take my kingdom. But I realized it was to get me closer to him and away from the TV. Mm-hmm. So I read the Bible through him. Each time I read it, I got a different meaning of what it meant. But that was the very harsh reality that came to me. And then when I came off to Dr. Sabbath, it started with one, then it came out of its own. But one thing that it did when I was healing, I had a hole in a piercing on my left side, like Jesus. And it took about 6 weeks to heal. I started asking for my husband, scalding my body. And God, the little Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, this is what. So I'm able to identify with being pierced. And my piercing, I can say, when I was pierced, my increase in my desire to want to be closer increased just drastically. Because I just went after him with such a hunger and a desire and a passion. I went back to school. I didn't even go to school for. I went to God. Psychology, and each time bothering me about money was always true. I would crumble no matter how much I grew in God until I was thinking maybe about a couple months ago. I'm going to be honest. I learned that no matter what he's got, I mean, I will always be weary about him. Many blessings. Every time you go, you get a bunch of money. You get a blessing. But she's right. Because I know to whom much is given, much is required. So I had to learn to sit still and be patient, not worry, because worrying is not God. And all these things, like when I would feel these things, I would relate to music that would inspire me spiritually. But strengthened me also. Yes. Because then I went from crying and needing somebody pregnant through to now I'm pregnant also.
Amen. Amen.
But like these ladies, developing that relationship was great. And I had to also learn, I had a soul tie with my ex-husband. It was very unhealthy love that I didn't know about. Because as women,
as men too.
Right, but we don't. Our wives. But you know, I was confused with how to love him. And not that I felt like I was forgiven before God, but and until the separation and God hardening his heart so that I could get myself together.
Yes.
And what I had to, now I had to learn to see things with a spiritual eye and not a natural eye. Listen with a spiritual ear, not with a natural ear. And that's how I've grown and I've developed. I constantly stay in my word. I constantly stay on my knees. I constantly pray. I seek God's face daily, like day and night. But with that, I can say it has given me such a protection and such a sound way of living that I don't get in those worried, depressed. I mean, I literally was going crazy. And generationally, you see my family. So when you got those generational curses, you've got another thing you battle against, trying to beat that also. And the enemy, instead of trying to beat you down, telling you you ain't worth nothing, you're going to be like your mom, you're going to lose your mom. You know, and I had daddy issues. Yes. Mother didn't raise me, my grandma did, so abandonment issues. But like this young lady, counseling is awesome. Then I had another trauma. It's prayer. And it wasn't, it was at 42 years old.
Yes.
But then he was such a comfort to me. I don't even know what that's what his name is. When he did it one day, that he wanted to make it, and he said, comfort from God, a gift from God. I never knew this.
Wow.
So what I'll say is, he knew what I needed more than I knew what I needed. Because I felt like,
right.
So whenever I realize whenever he's in anything, he gonna see me do that anything and
I'll right. That's right.
So I just want to tell you ladies to stay encouraged and know that God is always gonna be there. I had to learn that and I truly know it
100%. Amen.
Nothing interfere with how I feel. Pastor said something on Sunday that really hit me tragically. Goes through things that you can't tell. He said, you just can't tell. You just like, you still smile and everything. A major issue with it. The word that he spoke was a seed planted in me on Sunday. Because Monday,
okay.
Yeah, you feel, yeah, he was, Monday, it came back to my memory.
And that's the thing about God. God knows what we want to go through. The thing is, what we have to go through it, so we don't think God is in it. But he already knows what we're going, what we have to go through, because he has a plan and a purpose. The enemy think he has a plan, but God has a plan that supersedes the enemy's plan. And that's why it's so important for us to stay on point with God in our relationship with him. Evangelist Jones, can you read number A and B?
Number A?
And B, yes.
The A?
Yeah, on the outline, the next one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right there.
You think following Jesus?
All right, I'll read it right here. It says, your body and soul didn't change when you were born again. The transformation of your body and soul won't be completed until you go to be with Jesus. And then it goes and it goes to the scripture. Can you read that scripture for me? 1 Corinthians 15:53.
But this corruptible must put in corruption, put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
And so what he's saying there is that we have to die. We have to die to ourselves. Because in this flesh, this body here, we continue to fail. And but with God, only through Him, and His grace, because in ourselves, we're corruptible. We don't continue to fail over and over again. But through His grace and mercy, and by us continue to follow Him, the only time we're going to be incorruptible is when we're with Him. And this is the purification process that we're going through, the transformation, because we can't stand before God with impurities in us. We got to be purified. And we have to go through those transitions and those things that we're going through here on this earth. So when we're with Him, we're clean.
I shared that last night with the young ladies, talking about David and his cave experience. You know, the loneliness, the feeling left out. That's me. That's something that's plagued me over and over again. A lot of the traumas in my life have always made me feel that I was never good enough, that I never fit in. You know, and I'm very transparent when I share with women of war, that I never saw myself in this position, in the place that God has placed me in. I didn't do it. I'm not even worthy. God did. By Him being who He is, Lord over my life. Because I had to render my will to Him. When I got the understanding, not my will be done, but His will be done. Now I'm worthy to do His work.
You know, one of the things that I learned coming out of that dark place and falling in love with the Word of God. See, I was always afraid to address reading. That was one of the, because I stumbled at reading. I don't know why I couldn't read as well as they could. So that was the way that the enemy kept me away from the Word. So what happened was, when I met this brother, he gave me a little pamphlet, and I was able to read that pamphlet through, and the Holy Spirit said, "You got it." And you know what the little pamphlet was about? Spirit, soul, and body. It broke those three things down. By Kenneth Hagin, Spirit, and that was over 30 years ago. I started reading that, and what I got from it, I was always good at comprehending a little to get a lot. That was one of the, that's why I'm ministering on counseling now. Because the Holy Spirit allowed me to see a lot from a little. So I found out way back then, if I start studying the Word and speak those things that are not as though they were, that was the principle. Yeah. I couldn't keep speaking what I went through.
Yeah.
I had to stop speaking what I was feeling. I was suicidal, I was dark. I had to stop saying those things. Because I heard a long time ago, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I heard that, I got a revelation. I couldn't speak that nobody liked me. I had to say, I like myself. That's why I always say, I'm smooth, I'm cool. I got a revelation that I'm just as good as everybody else. I'm fine. I can do this thing. But I got that through studying the Word of God. I had to stop speaking against. See, this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to break the community up. He wants to make us enemies against each other. And he will use our infirmity, our weaknesses, to speak out what we feel negative on the inside and put it up in somebody else. So when you know that, like that chart I showed you, you have to change the way you feel about how you've been feeling. The only way you change the way how you've been feeling is to speak differently about what you've been going through. And wait, I got one more scripture. And I learned this a long time ago. Bishop Johnston, the scripture said, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When I found that out, know that meant that Jesus won with me. He won my victory. And He gave a reward to me. So I'm more than a conqueror.
Yes. You know, and that's so important. And even as you say that, we can just reflect back on everybody who spoke here, shared that same thing, and began to speak differently about themselves and how they was feeling and who they they were, and that was the transition stage of them moving forward in who God is calling them to be. And this is what we should be excited about. And I tell you out there, you should be excited about that same thing too, that you begin to speak life into yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to speak it to you. Speak the words that God has already spoken over your life and start walking, believing, and knowing it for yourself.
Yes.
And that's what we see here with these young ladies. Yes. Every single one of us here have our own testimony of that breaking point in our lives, that we had to die to ourselves and allow God to renew us, to begin a new thing in our lives, that we're here able to share our testimony.
Yes.
Not to brag about it, not to say this is who we were. Yes, it's who we were, but that's not who we are now. We are all new creature in Christ, and what you see now is not nothing compared to what you're gonna see as we continue to walk with God. So I want to ask you a question. What are you excited about in this renewed relationship with God, that some of your friends who you know, that they don't know, but they can see in you?
A lot of people don't know that I am married. I'm making 25, but I am married. I'm currently about to go through a divorce, and that was extremely hard, both on me and my wife. So I think in this new stage that I've been going through, a lot of people have been saying how much happier I am, how much happier CJ is, because the way you see me and my son now is not how we were a couple years ago. I was depressed, he was depressed. It was really dark for a long time there. So a lot of people, and myself included, are excited to see this new path for them.
How about yourself?
What are some of the things that this new walk that you're doing, that people can see on you that they didn't see before, and that they're excited for and would like to have that same thing for themselves, because they experience some of the same thing you are, but they don't know how to get to that point?
I think what a lot of people can see on me is joy. I had walking around now. Very physically depressed and irritated most of the time. And having my best friend Jesus, my best friend, having him there to dispel all the rumors and all the lies in my own head about who I was and who my family was, about the things I went through, having him tell me, no, you're loved, having him tell me, no, you know, you're a good teacher, kids love you, your job, they appreciate you, having him build me up instead of listening to the lies of the devil and tearing myself down. That is the joy. It's something that's completely transforming, and everybody else.
Amen. Ms. Jones, can you read, Evangelist Jones, forgive me, can you read C all the way down where it talks about this transformation and this change that we see in this relationship with God?
It reads, at this very moment, you're born again. Spirit is as perfect and complete as it'll ever be throughout all eternity. Born again.
Yes.
Spirit.
Yes.
You know, and saying that, I have the same body. I'm the same, just a little bigger, same body, stretched out. All the ways. However, my spirit, it was there all along. But now that it is awakened by the word, it has changed me. It's changing me continuously. It is allowing me to know that my expected end is not of this world. It's in Christ Jesus. It allows me to know that the fight was fixed on my behalf. It allows me to know that I have that expected end with my Father in eternity. My spirit is awakened. And you know, I heard Pastor Bruce say you know, when his times of coming through his challenges, he had to begin to speak things differently, and I had to do that for myself. You know, one day at home alone, I'll never forget it, I stood in the mirror at 704 Roosevelt Boulevard, Philadelphia, and me and her, we had a conversation. I looked at the girl in the mirror, and I said to her, "You're beautiful. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You all right." I was okay with the way God made me versus how people used to say. That's their opinion. Y'all say what y'all want. But I serve a mighty God. And I'm worthy of all that he has for me. In spite of and nevertheless what you may think about me, I serve a God that you can't tell me nothing about. I don't care if I end up with freckles, polka dots, whatever. I'm okay because that's how God made me. And I'm good enough for him. Take me or leave me. Because he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. Now, if you leave me, you're going to miss out on what he has for me to deposit into you.
You know, that's so important because so many of us suffer from that identity crisis where we don't know who we are and we allow people to tell us who we are and we don't recognize the value that we have and that we add to other people. And that's why this is what we want you to get from this here today. Through this relationship with Christ, this renewed relationship with Christ gives you a new identity.
Yes.
It places a new value yes. system on yes. your life. This yes. salvation is, and this is what it's about. Because every single one of us here have been to that downtrodden yes. place where we didn't know who we were. I tell people all the time that for me, I had no idea. I never even thought or foresaw myself at the age of 53. I wasn't thinking about those things as a young man. I was just existing. I wasn't living. And God has called us to live, not to just exist. And too many of us out there are just existing when God is calling us to live. Not live for ourselves, not live for the world, not live for things, but live for him and his people. He's calling us to a new relationship with him. And this is what we want you to get out of this. And we better close in a minute. We got a comment. And I just want to read number C here on this paper about all things new. And it says, the change occurs in your spirit. Number two, it says, your spirit totally changes at salvation. And it says, your spirit is instantly and completely transformed. Everything you'll ever need in the Christian life is already present. It is entirely in your spirit. So it's already there inside of you. You were born with it on the inside. And with this new renewed relationship with God, it allows it to mature and to come to its maturity in who God has purposed you to be from the beginning. So don't allow anybody to tell you who you are. Know who God said you are. Let's get this comment. And before we close, I always like to close with each one of us having a saying or a scripture to share with the people. All right? Amen. So we're going to start. You want to share a scripture or a statement that you would like to leave the audience with tonight?
I don't know if we're being by major verse. Forever now has been Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. And that's one verse that I've very heavily on, especially right now with everything that I'm going through. But that finding a verse and using that verse that applies to what you're going through and leaning on that is extremely helpful, because it stays in your head, it stays in your spirit, and whatever you need, it's going to pop up.
Amen. Ms. Jones?
What I have, I hope I know my spirit has been awakened. Philippians 4:13 tells me by the word of God that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do it exceedingly and abundantly in Him.
Amen.
I have Jeremiah 3:3. The Lord has appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness I have. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. I just wanted to remind you that, you know, from every time you want to hear it, it was just love. Even from the woman in the audience, even if it was love that God had drawn them, being there constantly. So, with that same love, He will continue to be there, even when you're just starting your transformation, even after the transformation, He will continue to be there with everlasting, unfailing love.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. You know, and I just want to say to the audience out there and everybody here on the panel, we are so thankful for you to come and share your testimony. The world tells us greater works will you do through the words of your testimony. So we can't be ashamed of our testimony. These testimonies are changing other people's lives. You have no idea. Someone could be out there in the audience right now who may have those same type of thoughts. But just hearing your testimony and what you shared has pulled them back from that edge. And so we have to be strong and bold in what God is telling us to do and what He's calling us to do, because they are lives connected to us and we are accountable for them. So family, before we leave here, we want to just remind you that this word, it doesn't cost. It is free. God's word is free. Our ministry, what we do, what we want to do does call. So if God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. The information will come up on the board, but you can sow a seed. You can do it through text. You can do it through our website. Go to our website, fhwcchurch.org, and go there. You can give. You can look at other sermons. Come be a part of our service on Sundays at 10:30. We welcome all families. We have children, church. We have things for everybody. But there's so much more that we want to do, but it also takes people. Because there's some things that God has placed on your heart, ministries that God has placed in your heart for you to do, but it can't be done if you're not a part. So we need you to be a part of what God is calling you to do. And if you want to be a part of our audience, be a part of our panel, you're welcome to come here on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock here sharp. Let us know. Tell us what you want us to discuss, some of the things, some of the topics that you may be dealing with that we can try to answer through the Word of God, not from ourselves, maybe through our experience, but through the Word of God, how He has brought us through. Amen? And I'm going to leave with this last scripture, and it comes from Joshua 1:9. And this was given to me a long time ago, and I continue to get that input from different people. And it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed, intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is not just for me, family, it's for you. We love you. God bless you here at Harvest. On behalf of Dr. William, the First Lady, we say we love you. God bless and have a good night. Amen.
Whoa.